Now, you can put on a label and say, oh, Pastor D's so cute. I like that one. But other people have put some other labels on me that weren't so nice. So we were talking about the labels that people like to put on us. And the bad part about when people put labels that aren't nice, that aren't what God says, is they many times they will start to define who you are. Such as somebody says, oh, you're lazy. You're an addict. You're a loser. And then all of a sudden, this label has followed you for years and years and years. Okay? Anybody like any of those labels following you for years or years? No. Okay? So we're not going to allow those labels that people put on us. And actually, the bottom dollar is God doesn't see you that way. God doesn't see you that way. So, praise the Lord. We're going to do one more label. Get my things here. This week, we're going to talk about a label that all of us put on and off. On, off, on, off. And this label is called the label of guilt. The label of guilt, okay? And how many of you have ever dealt with guilt? Okay, I don't care if you're a Christian or a non-Christian. You've probably had some guilt, all right? I'm not perfect. Anybody else not perfect? Yeah. Guess what? You're going to deal with guilt, okay? So I want to talk about how guilt actually will stop you from being what God says you are. Guilt will actually stop you from living the best that God has for you. Guilt will just keep you boxed in, and God's got this big thing before you. So we're going to talk about guilt. So think about it. Everybody get on the page with me. Think about, how does guilt come? Or better yet, why do you feel guilty? Sometimes people make you feel guilty. Sometimes family members make you feel guilty. You know, your mom calls you up and says, you haven't called your sister in 3 months. Bam! And they put guilt all over you, right? So you call your sister up. But listen, doing things out of guilt, is that any fun? It's like that kid with a garbage can. They're stomping the whole time. Okay, so it's not fun. And listen, God doesn't want you to live your life doing things because of guilt. God does not want you to do that. Matter of fact, he doesn't want a day going by that you are walking life out doing things because of guilt. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. All right? What I want to talk to you about is our relationship with God. Our relationship with God and how guilt will actually muff up your relationship. How guilt will actually mess up your relationship with God if you are wearing this label of guilt. Okay? So, like, let's just say I really blew it yesterday. Whatever I did, okay? So then I start thinking, oh, man, I am sure God is not happy with me now. Oh, man, he's probably thinking, D, you've done that 15 times, all right? And guess what I did? I start putting on guilt. I start putting guilt on, all right? So I want to talk to you about how Jesus Christ took guilt for you, so you don't have to have this. That's really the simple part. So how many of you have done at least one thing wrong since you've asked Jesus Christ into your life? Raise your hand. Wow, you're all paying attention too. All right. Everybody has done something wrong in their life. And what can and most often happens, if you don't know, but what happens is you will then put guilt on yourself because you've done something wrong. All right, so I will make this statement. I'm pretty sure everybody has battled guilt because we make mistakes. So title of the message, if you're taking notes, because y'all like to impress the teacher, the title of the message is called Not Guilty. Write that down, Not Guilty. So today I want to talk about God's perspective, how God sees you not guilty. How God sees you not guilty. And you might be thinking, Pastor D, if you only knew, I did it something, and I am guilty. I'd say, no, 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 because you don't understand then that Jesus paid a price, so you don't have to be guilty. You don't understand that he has a good life for you because he sees you not guilty. All right, so I'm going to give you a list right now. I really had a lot of fun on this. It probably took me about 2 weeks because I'd add another one to the list. So I'm combing through my Bible, and I'm looking for people who you would see have labels on them after their name, okay? Because they've done things wrong. All right, here we go. And because they've done things wrong, they've actually probably feel guilty. Here we go. Noah was a drunk. Drunk, all right? Abraham was too old. Isaac was a dreamer. Jacob was a liar. That's a nice tag to put on after your name, right? Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Moses had a stuttering problem. Rahab was a prostitute. Okay? Jeremiah and Timothy were both too young. Isaiah preached naked. Check that one out. Elijah was suicidal. How's that for a label? Okay? Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Jesus a bunch of times. The disciples fell asleep. Martha worried about everything. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was a murderer. And Timothy had ulcers. Those are some labels. And because of those labels, they might have to deal with some guilt, okay? But listen, I'm looking at that list, and I think it's like, man, God, you like to choose people who weren't perfect, right? That list, they weren't perfect, right? And they actually had lots of problems. So God liked to choose those kind of people. But here's what's interesting. God used people like that. God used them. Okay, the womanizer, the prostitute, suicidal, God used people like that, all right? So you know what it tells me? If God used people like that, God also wants to use me. God wants to use you, all right? Okay, so let me say this. So why was God using them? Why was God using them? Well, one, because Jesus came and paid a price. Jesus came and paid a price so that every person on that list, God would use. God would use every person on that list. And listen, some of those guys were under the Old Testament and God used them. A bunch of them were under the New Testament, and Jesus in the New Covenant says, listen, I am going to pay a price so that God can use you. So you should be going, yippee, God is going to use me because I am living under a new covenant where Jesus has already paid a price. So write that down. Jesus already paid a price. So God can use me. So I don't have to have guilty. Okay? Guilty. All right. Now, here's my question. All right. What would happen if you got caught for doing something bad? Anybody ever got caught for doing something bad with the police? Don't raise your hand. How about, okay? How about, what would happen if you got caught for doing something bad? I mean, really bad and really embarrassing. You think you might have a little guilt going on? Okay. How about you got caught for something doing really bad, really embarrassing, and all these people found out about it? You think you might have some guilt going on? All right. Okay, what happens if you got caught for doing something really bad and according to the old covenant, it was really bad? Matter of fact, it was so bad, according to the Bible old covenant stuff, is that they would stone you. You know where I'm going with this story, don't you? All right, so how about you did something really bad, really embarrassing, and according to the old covenant, the Old Testament, you would have been stoned. And on top of that, they brought you before Jesus and threw you down. And they told Jesus what you did. how would you feel? Shame, guilt, horrible, right? Okay, how would you feel? All right, so turn over to John chapter 8, okay? Now, while you're getting there, let me just tell you. You all know this, but let me just tell this. Every time you do something, guess who's there? Yeah, we used to sing a song, be careful little, da, 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 da. Yeah, the father up above is looking down above. And hey, what about Saint Nicholas? Saint Nicholas is watching, you know, they got even Saint Nicholas is watching. But listen, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received the Spirit of God in you. So everywhere you go, he's going. And listen, every time you do something, he's watching. Now, some of you might think, well, that's really guilt and condemnation. No, that's there for a reason. And if you'd understand that he's always with you, that's really kind of like my blinking light. D, don't do that. That's a good thing. When you know who lives inside with you, who's always with you, that's never going to leave you and forsake you. If you understand that, that's sort of like your a reminder. Don't do that. I was like, oh, that's right. Jesus is with me. I'm not going to do that. All right? So that's a good thing. You guys all over at John chapter 8? I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, okay? Here we go. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. He went to church, right? A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. All right, so you've got Jesus who's teaching, all right, and they bring in this lady, and they throw her in front of Jesus, and they say, hey, we caught this lady in the act of adultery. Okay, that's pretty horrifying, isn't it? That's pretty horrifying. Okay, so these men found her, and they bring her to Jesus. Let's read verse 4. Teacher, they said, this is the religious law leaders and the Pharisees. Teacher, they said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Okay, now you understand, again, Jesus is teaching in the temple, and he's got a reputation going for him, right? He's been doing this for a couple of years now. He's got a reputation, okay? And these religious guys say, hey, Jesus, what do you think? All right, because they're trying to trap him. What do you think? Do you think that we should make her pay because she broke the law? Okay, I want you to think in the story. All right, let's go to verse 6. They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. Weren't they cute? They were trying to trap him. Okay, so Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up and he said, okay, let me stop. Most people, they always go, well, D, what was he writing? What? Can you imagine what he was writing? Listen, it's not what he wrote, it's what he said. Get off of what he might have been doing tic-tac-toe. It's always the spoken word. It's what he said. So what does he say here? All right. Oh, I lost my place. All right. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. This is what he said. All right. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. All right. So you got Jesus. No, better yet, picture that happened today, all right? We're in church, all right? And somebody comes up and they go, oh, Pastor D, they're so-and-so. They're going to come up. Let's get them up and they can tell us their sin before the whole bunch. And I would say, oh, no, that's not how we do that around here, okay? And I would have said, hey, let the one who's never for stone. That's what I would have said. All right? And probably y'all would have gone on, right? Everybody would have left, right? Yeah, don't say I'm perfect. Okay, all right. So, all right, let's keep reading. Praise the Lord. So, let the one who's never sinned, has no sin, throw the first stone. Verse 8. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Then the accusers heard this, and they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Okay. So now we have just Jesus, we have the woman, and then we got this whole crowd. Now listen, this is the crowd that was there in the beginning while Jesus was teaching. This is the crowd who Jesus came to hear Jesus teach, right? This is the crowd that's watched this whole drama blow up, right? Okay, now let's read verse 10 and 11. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Neither do I, and go and sin no more." Okay, so let's talk about why Jesus said, "Neither do I." Neither do I. I mean, think about it. He could have said, lady, I'm really sorry, but, you know, eventually I'm going to die and resurrect, and I'm eventually going to pay for all your sins and everybody else's. But right now, today, lady, I'm really sorry, you deserve to get stoned, right? He could have said that. He could have said that, all right, because you know what? He was the only one who had never sinned. And he says, neither do I. All right, so we got this lady. And so why does he do that? Why does Jesus say, neither do I? Why does Jesus say that? Well, listen, this is my interpretation. Because Jesus is full of compassion, full of mercy. Jesus is always full of compassion and full of mercy. Now, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're actually, now put your seatbelt on. Okay, you're actually, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're still in the old covenant, right? Until Jesus dies. All right, so when you're reading that, this is really old covenant, but Jesus decides, I'm going to take that lady into the new covenant, into compassion and mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Because Jesus is always full of compassion. Right? So that's why he does it. Now, so he decides, and this is Jesus, he decides, hey, listen, I'm not going to take you and judge you by the old covenant. I am going to take you into this great new covenant, and I'm going to show mercy. That's wonderful. Okay? And the rest of them are going, well, you know, they're probably thinking, well, you know, I didn't commit adultery. I've only lied. And he's going, no, we're not getting into what's greater, what's less. We're not getting into slapping labels. I am going to take her into a new covenant, into where grace and mercy is. Okay? So Jesus says, hey, I'm not going to condemn you. And he's really saying, not only am I not going to condemn you, is I'm not going to put a label on you that says guilt, guilt, guilt. Isn't that wonderful? He says that. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to do this. Woman, sin no more. So he's really saying, hey, listen, you're released. There's no sentence on you. By the way, don't keep committing adultery. He does kind of throw that in. And no guilt. Isn't that wonderful? All right, now, I want to talk about stoning. I had really fun. It's really fun to Google stoning. Don't turn your computer's on right now. Your phone's on. All right. Okay. Later. Google stoning. All right. They still stone people in certain parts of the world. But in the Old Testament, this was fairly interesting. Do you know stoning was really horrible, bad, brutal? I was just trying to think of words. Just brutal. Okay. Stoning was brutal. And if you're thinking they're throwing pebbles, no. I used to think they threw baseballs, you know, size. No, they didn't. They dropped boulders on them. And this is what stoning was back in Jesus's day. They would dig a pit, a deep pit, and they'd line the pit with huge, sharp rocks, big ones, Okay, so you have been accused and sentenced to be stoned. So they throw you over face first in hopes that you crack your skull open first in this pit. And if you didn't die then they'd be so nice as to go down there and turn you over. So now you're face up. All right? And then the one who passed sentence would, I love this, pick up a boulder and bam, drop it on you. And then everybody else was there that was the accusers would pick up boulders and drop it on you to kill you. That's brutal. That's terrible. Okay? Stoning. Google that tonight before you have dinner. Okay. Now, think about that. That's horrible. It's horrible. But as I was thinking about that, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, by the law of Moses, there are 11 things you could be stoned by. And probably all of us would have been stoned. Let me read you my list. You can Google this, okay? A list of why you would be stoned. Number one, touching Mount Sinai. It's found in Exodus and Hebrews. I'm not going to give you those references. You can have fun, okay? Number two, breaking the Sabbath. Number three, child sacrifice. There were days I wanted to sacrifice my kids growing up. Okay, but I didn't, so I wouldn't get stoned. Being a medium or a wizard. Cursing God. Whoops, stone. Okay, blaspheming God. Idolatry. You know what we think idolatry is and really what it is. I'm pretty sure it might have gotten stoned. Okay. Someone who entices another person to commit idolatry. Rebellious to parents. Whoa! Dead. A woman, see, they can only kill you once. So, you know, maybe I wouldn't get there. Okay. A woman who proclaimed to be a virgin at marriage but was not. Number 10, having sex with a betrothed virgin. And number 11, adultery. This is so cute. Both a man and a woman. Well, these guys only brought the woman. Okay. So just curious, how many of you would have gotten stoned? A bunch of liars. Come on. You always obeyed your parents. All right. Yeah, okay. Gee whiz. So here's why Jesus came. Here's why Jesus left heaven and came so that you would not have to pay the penalty. Woo! Guys, this is why Jesus came. So you would not have to pay the penalty to be stoned. Isn't that awesome? You should be splat on the floor. Oh, man. Okay? Jesus came so we would never have to pay the penalty. That's Jesus. All right. So, here's what's really interesting. You don't have to look at it. Just scribble it down. John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, they describe Jesus full of grace and full of truth. Okay, just write that down. Full of grace, full of truth. You can look that up later. If you could put it in my words, I would say Jesus is 100% truth and 100% grace. Okay? You following me? Can I say that? All right? So here we have Jesus who's 100% truth, 100% grace. And truth is that lady should have been stoned. Jesus is 100% truth. And truth, when Jesus was living, was that lady should have been stoned, right? Okay, but then Jesus is also 100% grace. And when grace and truth get together, something gives. Aren't you glad? When grace and truth get together, something gives. Okay, so this is what happens. Jesus simply says, hey lady, I'm not going to accuse you. All right, just go and sin no more. You're released. Just go. Don't commit. Keep committing adultery. That's grace, right? That's grace. So if you're here and you've been struggling and muffing up and struggling and muffing up, guys, there's grace. There's grace. You don't have to wear the guilty sticker, right? Grace is there for you. Okay, but you know what we'd want to do? We want to judge people. We want to judge people, right? No, not that the other church does that, right? We want to judge them. We want to put labels. We want to say, hey, you can't be used by God because you're struggling in an area and you muff up occasionally, all right? That's what people want to do. But listen, everyone probably here today, are you struggling in an area? I'll ask your spouse, okay? Are you struggling in an area? Yeah, okay. So if Jesus stopped because everyone at some moment in time is struggling, he'd never use anybody. But he doesn't. Grace and truth comes together. And listen, he uses us because of grace. Amen. So why is grace so important? Why is it that grace comes along and says, hey, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to accuse you. I'm going to release you. Why is that so important? Okay. Write this down. Why is that so important? Write this down. Because you cannot receive anything from God if you're carrying guilt. You cannot receive anything from God if you're carrying guilt. All right? It's like your hands are so full, you can't do anything. All right? So you can't receive from God when you're full of guilt. Everything that God did for you, you have to receive. So it's like the Christmas tree is loaded to the gill with presents. God has given all these great things for you, but you have to go pick them up and open them up, right? You have to go receive them. So everything that God did for you, you have to receive. Salvation. Listen, if I was God, I would make people get saved, beat them to learn to do that. Not God. He has offered salvation to everybody. When Jesus died, rose again, and sat down, salvation's for everybody. But what do you have to do? What do you have to do? You have to receive it. You have to say, hey, I want to have Jesus in my life. I want to accept, I want to receive salvation. So everything that God has done, you have to receive, right? But listen to this. God has done it in faith, God has done everything by grace, but you have to receive it by faith. God has done everything by grace. Baby, you didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve salvation, right? God has given everything by grace, but you have to receive it by faith. And listen, guilt shuts faith down, right? That down. Guilt shuts faith down. Right? Okay. Example. You are so full of guilt. You're so full of guilt and you're like, I can't go to God. No, you can go to God. Because listen, grace is being given. Grace is piled up at your doorstep. All right? But when you've got guilt, it shuts you down. You can't even be in faith to receive what God has for you. So guilt is disgusting. I don't want it anymore, right? Guilt is pretty bad. Your guilt's like, oh God, I messed up today. Oh, gosh, I can't believe I did that again. I cussed again. God, I am so undeserving. I just feel guilty. Guess what? I have shut down because I'm carrying guilt. Okay, people do that. And you're supposed to be running to God, but you don't. So I'm going to give you one more person that we're going to talk about in the Bible. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. One more person we're going to talk about in the Bible that this happened to. This is a guy that was, y'all remember the story. He was on a cot. He was unable to move. He was paralyzed. And he's got four friends, right? He's got four friends and they carry him to Jesus. He couldn't get into the house. His four friends are carrying him because he's paralyzed. They're carrying him on a cot. They can't get into the house. By the way, if you read it out of the Amplified and a couple other translations, it says it's probably Peter's house. So we've got Jesus at Peter's house, and there's a ton of people there, and there's this paralyzed guy, and he's got these awesome friends that carry him, and they can't get in the door, so they climb up on the roof and they start tearing out the tiles. Everybody's got friends like that, right? Everybody's got friends like that. They're going to do that, huh? Yeah, sure. Yeah, by faith. Vanessa, you can do it for me. Okay, so these so tenacious friends are all about getting this guy to Jesus, that they tear apart part of the roof and they lower them. So let's read this. I'm just going to read. I gave you the background. I'm just going to read the verse. Whoa. Okay, here we go. You know why I do this is because it's really hard to hold a Bible and flip pages now when you're one-handed. It's like so much fun. Okay, when Jesus saw their faith, the Amplified, this is Amplified, their confidence in God through him, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you and put away. That is, the penalty is remitted, the sentence of guilt removed, and you are made upright and right standing in God." Okay, now listen. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Though, but when I read this story, did that guy come to Jesus to get his sins forgiven? Why was he coming to Jesus? To get healed, right? Dig out, throw away the cot. Okay, so why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say that? I thought on this. I was like, why did he do that? Okay, because you know, a lot of times we've got issues. We got issues upon issues. And you think you're going to come to God. You're coming to God about blank, blank, blank. And God is looking at you and he says, "But I want to do this first before I get there." All right? I want to do this first before I'll get to that. I'll get to that. But first, I've got to do this. All right? Think about that. All right? So first, I've got to do this. All right? So I'm going to, we come with issues. We go, "God, I need this." And God says, "Yeah, but I'm going to do this first. I'll get over there." Isn't that interesting? Okay, now, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." So if he would have said that, I'm the guy on the cot in the middle of the floor, and I'm paralyzed, and they totally embarrassed me and dropped me from the ceiling and put me in front of everybody, because I'm, you know, have to make sure I'm all dressed right. And Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." I would have said, "Oh, well, thanks, that's cool. But Jesus, that's not why I came. I am tired of being on this cot, and I don't want to be paralyzed anymore." Would you have said that to him? I would have. Come on, you, some of you I know got spunk. You were like, "Thanks, Jesus, but, you know, the real reason why I'm here," okay? Okay, and Jesus answers, "Son, your sins are forgiven you. Put away, that is, the penalty is remitted and the sense of guilt is removed." Amplified's amazing. Okay? The sense of guilt is removed. And you know why he's doing this? Because a lot of times you can't receive from God because you got guilt all over you, right? You got guilt over you. And I think Jesus knew something I didn't know. I think Jesus knew, as a matter of fact, I know he knows a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know. So he's looking at that guy and saying, "You know what? I know something that we got to deal with first." So he says that. If you're taking notes, write this down. Sin consciousness. Sin consciousness. Sin consciousness is when you have a sense of guilt. That's called sin consciousness. You just are so, got so much guilt every time anything happens, okay? So this is sin consciousness. "Man, I always muff up. I go to God, but I know God's not going to give me anything because, you know, I've muffed up. And he's not going to listen to me because, you know, I'm guilty. I actually did it," okay? So that's sin consciousness. That's sin consciousness, all right? You've got this whole thing going in your head. But Jesus says, I love this. Jesus says, whoops, turn my page here. "Son, your sins are forgiven. You put away, that is, the penalties remitted, the sense of guilt's removed. You are made upright and right standing with God." Okay. So, listen, in the day that Jesus lived, he wasn't allowed to do that. Jesus lived under the old covenant, the law. In the day that he lived, he wasn't allowed to do that. Right? Okay, he wasn't allowed to do that. But Jesus decides, "I am going to treat this man as if he's living in the new covenant. I am going to show this man the love and the compassion and the mercy and the grace of God, and I'm going to remit his sins." That's what God always does. He's always pouring the best on you. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful? So he says, listen, I am going to forgive. Your guilt, wipe it away. So how do you think we treat people? How do you think we treat people some days? Oh, man, I can't believe you've done that 15 times, Pastor D. Instead of, let's see. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to put that away. The penalty's remitted. The sense of guilt is removed. And you are now made upright and right standing with God. Okay? Sometimes we go, somebody comes to you and they say, you know, I did this today. As a matter of fact, I've done it every day for the last week. All right? And then you go, and they come to you and say, I'm really having a hard time. Could you just pray with me? And you know what we do? Oh, man. I don't know. I think you've used up all the blood of Jesus. There's nothing left. You know, that was bad. You've done that every day this past week? No, Jesus is, listen, God is always forgiving. The blood of Jesus cleanses you always, 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 always from your sins and your messes up. Amen? Okay, so every time you mess up, this is what you have to do. God, Father God, I'm coming to you, and I'm not telling anything you don't already know, but you know that I really messed up, and I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me, and I thank you, I'm forgiven. Okay, otherwise, here's my guilt sticker. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you got guilt. If you can't do that, you got to get rid of this. If you think you can't do that, you've got this stuck on you, so get rid of it, all right? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Isn't it amazing? There's forgiveness every time, period, you go to God. There is forgiveness for you every time you go to God, period. Every time you go to God, he's forgiving, period. Every time you go to God that you've messed up, he forgives, period. You should write that down. Put it on the mirror. Okay. All right. Romans chapter 8. I know most of you know this scripture. I'm going to close with it. Okay. Here we go. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Put a period there. Okay. I want to talk about that. Everyone here, you're probably going to mess up. Some of you won't even make it to the driveway out by the mailbox. You're going to have a mess up, all right? Okay? Every one of you is going to mess up, so you probably are going to deal with guilt. If not, some of you maybe even came in today with guilt. Some of you, tomorrow, you're going to have guilt, okay? But this scripture is yours. But let me say something here. I understand that if you have an addiction, if you have an area that you have a tendency that you keep doing over and over and over and over, you keep doing it wrong, why don't you get some help? Okay? Why don't you get some help? I think rehabs are wonderful. I think counseling is amazing. Okay? Why don't you join a grow group and say, Michelle, I keep having this problem. I really keep messing up. Would you pray with me? Would you call me every day and pray with me? I really need help. Listen, church is great. These are rows. Grow groups are about circles. And sometimes you need accountability. You need input in your life, right? Anybody need input in your life? Because you know, I always tell you, by yourself, you're goofy. You need people in your life. To tell you you're goofy, and you need to get, you know, get it right on there. Listen, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. And look what God did with him. Okay. So do you think you can be forgiven? Yes. All righty. Now, Romans 8:1. All right. So let's just say you've done this thing 100 times wrong and you feel like, God, I've messed up, and you're going, God, I've messed up, I've messed up, God, I've messed up, I keep messing up, I keep messing up, God, and then you forgive. And then you go, God, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? And he says, yes, period, yes, period, yes, period. He forgives, okay? So Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're a follower of Jesus, raise your hand. This is your scripture. There is no condemnation for those that are a follower of Jesus. Condemnation means a sense of guilt. There's no sense of guilt for those of you that are followers of Jesus. There's no sentence put on you. There's no sentence put on you. There's no sentence put on you because of this scripture and what Jesus did. Now, the next part, I'm going to read this. This I had fun. I've known this for a while, but I really dug into it. The second part, it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So I pulled up 16 translations, and out of those 16 translations, 11 of them don't have that. Then I was like, what? Something's going on here. So I start digging, and in the original Greek, it only says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Because guys, the day you receive Jesus Christ, he paid the penalty for you. There's no condemnation, period. Period. Okay? Those were translators that put that there. Okay? So just take a white out and white it out. Okay? All right. Now, obviously, I don't walk in the Spirit all the time. Some of you have seen me. Okay? But listen, there's no condemnation. There's no sentence of guilt on me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Let's all say that. There's no condemnation on me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Some of you got to just say that over and over and over and over and over, okay? And there have been times in my life that there's no condemnation in me because I'm in Christ Jesus, period. Because I've gone to the Father, I've confessed my sin, all right? Period. All right, now, Jesus paid a price 2,000 years ago. He paid the price for your sin. The penalty has been paid for. So therefore, there is no condemnation. No guilt. So if someone wants to slap that on you, give them the hand, okay? Say, no condemnation. I'm in Christ Jesus, all right? Praise the Lord. Two other translations. Johnson says, there is no accusing voice nagging you to those that are united in Christ. Oh, that one's good. There's no accusing voice nagging you because I'm in Christ Jesus. All right. This other translation says there's no blame to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no blame. There's no blame. There's no nagging voice because I'm in Christ Jesus. And I just go, enough. All right. All right. Condemnation comes from who? The devil. The condemnation comes from the devil, and the devil's out to condemn you. Okay, do you know why he wants to condemn you? Because it'll shut you down. When you're carrying guilt, that sentence, it shuts you down, right? You can't even look people in the eye. You can't do what you want, and usually you don't even go to God, right? Usually when you're so full of guilt and condemnation, who's the last person you go to? I know, that's so dumb. Okay, hallelujah. And listen, the devil knows if he can keep you condemned, he'll keep you from God. But listen, I'm in Christ, not guilty. I'm in Christ, no condemnation. Okay, now, if you start feeling condemned, this is what you do. Here's your solution, okay? If you start feeling condemned, this is what you do. I know this is going to be real deep for some of you. Ready? Write this down. 1 John 1:9. This is it. Father God, you know, I really blew it. I confess this is sin, and I thank you I'm forgiven. Thank you in Jesus' name. And that's how I just get rid of that condemnation. All right? And tomorrow, if I do the same thing, I go, Father God, I did this sin, confess it as sin, and I thank you that I'm forgiven. Listen, if your heart is truly going to God, that stuff just like melts off of you. It's like an ice cream cone out in the parking lot today. It just melts right off of you, okay? No condemnation. 1 John 1:9. Some people think that you don't have to confess your sin. But when I speak it out loud, I hear it. God doesn't need to hear it. I hear it. So I will speak it out loud. Michelle, I sinned. So confess it to one another. But really, God, I've sinned. I'm confessing this. And I thank you. I'm forgiven. And there's no guilt. I'm clean and holy and pure in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because Jesus paid the penalty so you don't have to carry guilt. How many of you have carried guilt? How many of you know people that are guilty? That's a really, you can spot them. How many of you know people that walk with that guilt? Ooh. All right. If this message didn't set you free, this is a message to help you tell people. All right? Because God wants to use every one of you. And when you are carrying all this guilt, you're not being used by God. You're not God has set it up so that Angie's going to come in my life. She's not born again. But I screwed up yesterday, and now I'm walking in guilt. And I won't go and be used of God and tell this person that God loves him. All right? So you don't carry guilt. God's got plans and purposes for your life. He's got plans for other people. He needs everybody on the A game, all hands on deck. But if you are carrying this guilt, he can't be used, right? Amen. All righty, let's pray. pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that forgiveness is from you, and it's for us, and it's available to us today and every day. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that we do not live a life of guilt. We quickly tear that off. We quickly have our eyes open and tear off guilt and go to you and receive forgiveness, accept forgiveness and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. I know I do this, and Pastor D, you do this all the time. You better believe it. Eyes closed, heads bowed, just stay in an attitude of prayer. We'll have communion later. Don't hang in there. But if you're here today and you have carried guilt for your past, for yesterday, even today, and you have never, never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, who washes that guilt away, who carried that away, and you'd like to receive Jesus today and receive the penalty, just receive total forgiveness. Just pick it up in your hands. If you'd like to receive Jesus into your life today, I'd like to pray with you. If that's you and you've never received Jesus and you're just carrying all this crud on you and you'd like to receive Jesus, would you raise your hand and I will pray for you. I will pray for you, and today you will enter into the family of God where no guilt and shame. Is there anybody here? Let's say, Pastor D, that's me. I'm ready today. Okay, if there's somebody here and you'd say, Pastor D, you know, I accepted Jesus into my life a while ago, maybe years ago or decades ago, but I have just walked away, and I'm feeling bad about that. I'm feeling guilty about that. Well, let me tell you, today's a good day to get your life right and make a right turn to him. If there's somebody here, I'd say, you know, Pastor D, I have just been walking far, far away from him. Well, I want to tell you, today, you just come on back and just recommit your life. It's that simple. If there's anybody here, I'd say, Pastor D, that's me. I want to pray for you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, look at the family and say, y'all look so good. Y'all look so good. Your family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, that wraps up my series on labels. I will not carry any more labels anymore. Hallelujah. Anybody else going to carry labels? No. Hallelujah. So we have communion fellowship.